This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, September 7th, 2024, The Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Took some liturgical license this morning because of the calendar. Tomorrow is the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but it is a Sunday, and that takes precedent over the feast, and there is no move of that feast. So this being the first Saturday, the day before the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I didn't check to see if that's appropriate or not, but if somebody complains, I'll deal with it. This is, I think, for our Blessed Mother's birthday, it's worth it. When we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary coming into this world, like the Collect says today, we see the beginning of our salvation in a very concrete sense. Everything up to that point had been words about our salvation. Prophets have spoke about the coming Messiah and everything. But the first concrete step that God takes is the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her nativity. This birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when she enters into this world, is there any better day except the day we venerate her birth than to think about the prayer that we say so very often, the Ave Maria? Hail Mary, greetings Mary. Mary comes into this world on this day. It's interesting to sit back, or should be for us, to sit back and reflect on that prayer that we say so often. We have to be very, very careful of prayers that we say so often, because they become words that come out of our mouth. The association of with the Our Father and the Hail Mary, I mean, it's integral. It's like the Apostles' Creed. But those Apostles' Creed is probably not as familiar with for us as the Our Father and the Hail Mary. We could be saying the Our Father and the Hail Mary and be thinking about probably 10 or 12 layers of other things and just not miss a trick on the word. Because why? Because we say it so frequently. We should, on occasion of like the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and think about the Ave, what exactly we say, why we say the things that we do. Again, is there any more appropriate day to reflect on that than on the day in which we will celebrate the Nativity of our Blessed Mother? And when we say that prayer, we imitate the example of the Archangel Gabriel. We call the prayer, technically speaking, is called the Angelic Salutation. We say that prayer because we want to use the exact words of heaven to the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation. This devotion, the Hail Mary, talked yesterday at length about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that feast day, the Sacred Heart, how it was a progressive thing, and then decrees of various popes and councils and things like that put it into play. It's kind of interesting to look at the Hail Mary. No decree of any council of the church has ever decreed that Catholics say the Hail Mary. No pope at their behest has it ever been said, oh, no, the faithful should say this prayer. The faithful just say that prayer. The faithful have just always said that prayer. That's what we refer to as the sensus fidelium. The faithful don't need to be told to say the Hail Mary. It's just a natural thing for us as Catholics to say this prayer. Our Blessed Mother prophesied that we would say things like that when she said, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. That was a prophecy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why some of our friends who call themselves Christians who deny that, it's beyond me. They're the words of Scripture, and they're the prophecy of God through the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God herself. this should give us pause to think about just how natural it is for us to say this prayer. We say it so often, there are actually three distinct parts of the Hail Mary. The words of the Archangel, the words of Saint Elizabeth, and the words of the Church. This is something that we need to ponder. Again, tell your friends who don't, we don't say that prayer. I've heard that many, many times. I always like to respond, what other parts of Scripture don't you pray? I mean, that's what it is. The only thing that we take is the words of the Church asking for her intercession. Just that sheer fact of what I said before. Nobody has ever said, hey, Catholics, you need to say the Hail Mary, or that there are some Catholics that do and some Catholics. It's our spiritual nature to say the Hail Mary. It's a short but tremendously potent prayer. It is tremendously powerful. What do you think? Oh, the Hail Mary. We don't think about it, and it's like playing with a loaded gun. Seriously. Much more powerful than a loaded gun. Do we think about that prayer in that context, that the Hail Mary is one of the most powerful? Actually, it's arguable. I would say it is the most powerful prayer. You go, well, what about the Our Father? Well, the Our Father is seven petitions where we ask God for things. We are presenting to the Blessed Mary. We only ask that she pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. We just glorify her through the rest of the time. We know that it's her power and not ours when we pray that can be unleashed when we ask intercessions for a particular thing, when we pray the Hail Mary. It is tremendously powerful. It is tremendously powerful, particularly when evil is afoot. We're human beings. We are sin, cursed, and fallen. We are always going to be under the influence of concupiscence in this world. When those evil thoughts come into our heads, and sometimes they are so dark, they are surprising, you say a Hail Mary. You say a Hail Mary. That's when it works. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. This is the power that we wield when we use that prayer. I mean, just the breakdown of the words for the Hail Mary. Our reverence for her, because should we not show reverence because an angel from heaven came down and said those words to the Blessed Virgin? Can you imagine that? Think about that for a second for those folks who we don't say the Hail Mary. Okay, an angel from heaven came down and said it to her. And who do you think you are that you won't? That's kind of questionable, let's just say. Hail Mary, full of grace. There is no one who has been favored by God more than the Blessed Virgin Mary. No other creature in existence. The Lord is with thee. The Blessed Virgin Mary, as a creature, is united body and soul to God. There is not another creature, that has ever been created that can say that they are united to God, body and soul. We have a relationship with Him sacramentally. We are in union with Him spiritually. Not one of us will ever, on this side of the veil, no, not one of us will ever, nor anyone who has ever existed, ever be able to say that they are united to God in their bodies. Only the Blessed Virgin Mary can say that. This is one of those things we talk about, or we should meditate upon when we say these words. Blessed art thou among women. This has more to do with her temporal activities. Blessed are you among women. You know, that is not the first time that those words have been used for a woman in this world. In the Old Testament, the book of Judith, after she cuts the head off Holofernes, she cuts his head off, and after everything's over and done with, the high priest looks at her, blessed are you among women. How much more? And he says that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about Judith. Because why? She delivered her people from this dangerous enemy. our Blessed Mother, she is going to deliver us from a more heinous enemy, Satan. She's going to crush his head. When we see this come to the fore, how much more is she blessed among women? Was Judith indeed? Should she have been? Yes, indeed. How much more, though, the Blessed Virgin Mary? These are the words of St. Elizabeth. These are the words of the angel. They're about the words of the church that we say. Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. There is no other time, no other time, can't be argued, that we are going to need her assistance more than the hour of our death. What if I die in my sleep? Then you need her assistance even more. That's why you should say a Hail Mary before you go to bed. Because if you die in your sleep, that is an unattended sudden death. We actually pray that we don't endure those things. You get killed in an accident instantaneously somehow. You need her assistance more than a person who's lying and suffering in bed. But the person is lying and suffering in bed. Before you die, there is not another time in your existence when you will need the Blessed Virgin Mary's assistance more. And we can think in our human mind, well, I'm asking her for this intercession, for this thing that's really important to me, like maybe a dying loved one or a loved one that we, you know, we want some type of miraculous cure. That's all well and good. But for us as individuals, we can feel like we want her intercession at those times more than even at our own death. But that's not true. That is not true. The hour of our death is going to be a time of horrendous temptations because Satan knows that he only has a limited amount of time to do his work in you. And that's when he will take great advantage of it, because that is when you will be at your spiritual and physically the weakest. And he will have great opportunity. This is what we need, and this is why we say at the end of that prayer, every single time we say it, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And we should be attentive to when we ask that of the Blessed Virgin Mary, every single time, because it's coming. It's coming. Even more sure than taxes, that one's coming. And we have to be assured that we have her assistance. Because you're going to be too busy to assist yourself. Seriously. You know, you think about it, most of us have been around a person who's dying. They're completely helpless, particularly there at the end. They can do absolutely nothing for themselves. They're not able to pray. This is why we ask, why we can, that she pray for us now at the hour of our death. And indeed, you know, particularly that little caveat, we just don't say, pray for us now at the hour of our, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. One, of course, we are admitting that we are indeed sinners in need of a Savior. But when we say that to the Blessed Virgin Mary, when we're honest with her about that, we are assured that she's going to help. Mary is most ready to assist sinners, because she had to stand at the foot of the cross and see what it cost her son to redeem us. The payback for the Blessed Virgin Mary for sitting there is the salvation of sinners. So when we say, pray for us sinners now, we are basically adding icing on the cake for her attention. Because it's not the matter of, oh, I feel sorry for you because you're a sinner, although she does. The most first and foremost thing that's sticking in her mind is having that memory of standing in front of her son and watching him endure what he endured for our redemption. This is why she is so quick to intercede for us who admittedly tell her that we are sinners. One commentator said, there is no sinner so fallen, so low, that the Mother of God would not be willing to befriend him if they ask her aid. This is why we ask her aid, because of her willingness. And again, we don't want to puff ourselves up. Oh, yeah, she wants to pay attention. She does want to pay attention to you, but because of her son. This is that relationship that she has with her in body and soul. So you look at when we say the prayers and we celebrate the nativity of our Blessed Virgin Mother. we should really be overwhelmed at how God has used her in the plan of salvation. These words from one of the early commentators on Marian dogma: God has committed judgment to his Son, but grace and mercy to his mother's hands. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.